dear listener, before we start, I need you to do something very important for me. I feel like a phony for asking, but if you come back for episode 4, I know you can do this. Leave a review, give it a share, and shout it from the rooftops, because I will get more listeners if it's the last thing I do. The Midnight Snack is your classic food truck setup. Red neon, tin walls with a light box for today's specials. Gregor, Denise, Anton, Myrtle, Josie, and Isla, all with alibis, all with connections to Stanley, and all with secrets. Secrets that in any other podcast, with any of the hosts, would seem less ominous than in this story and with this crime. Last episode, I had an extremely rewarding interview with the Australian officer at the station. Not gonna lie, his accent threw me, but when I got home, I pulled my phone out of my pocket. At first, I thought perhaps my hands had grown, as the phone felt smaller than it had earlier that day, but then I realized it wasn't my phone at all. I clicked the home button, and the unthinkable happened. There, staring up at me was Stanley, arms wrapped around Isla, of all people. I clicked the home button again, and to my shock, the phone unlocked without any question. This was Stanley's phone. I picked up the wrong phone at the station, and now I had a vital piece of evidence right here in my hands. I hesitated, turning to the door before knowing what I had to do, and went straight into the messages and read the final interactions between the pair.
My dearest Stanley, I can no longer live this lie, and I can no longer lie with a man who believes so strongly in an idiotic ideology. My dear Stanley, for too long we have ignored our differences, and for too long I have put up with a concept that makes my very soul quiver. I can no longer be with a man who would call any hardened, baked, sweet treat a cookie. It is an insult to the language of my and your forefathers. The term biscuit is not only a reference to the sweet treats that do so nobly and loyally accompany our 11Zs and afternoon tea, but it is a reference to the sweet, holy Latin language that has helped shape the very words we speak now. The word biscuit is an endearing and inclusive term that takes in the hobnob, the rich tea, the Jaffa cake, although that one is a bit of a funny one, and the jammy dodger. Need I go on? Need I go on with you anymore is the more appropriate question, a question I have been asking myself for some time now. Every time I use the word cookie for anything that does not have chocolate chips in it, I feel as if I am abandoning my roots, abandoning the great British biscuit. A treat that has kept us going through so many wars. A treat that has been by our side for generations, which is why we will bake them in our homes. We will sell them in our shops, and we will eat them whenever we damn well please. For the biscuit is everything that is British. Alas, my love, we cannot be. Farewell, my American sweetheart.
My darling Isla, I would have hoped we could overcome this difference, for surely you must understand the difference between a biscuit and a cookie. You cannot ask me to call the mighty Oreo, sugar cookie, peanut butter blossom, or even Chips Ahoy a biscuit. The founding fathers turn over in their graves as such blasphemy. I do not see why you cannot concede to call a cookie simply that. Given that cookies you claim to be biscuits are made on American soil with star-spangled ingredients, it takes us to the core of what constitutes a cookie. And on this, I thought we were agreed. While I will reluctantly leave you to call your British cookies biscuits, it is too much for you to ask me to stoop to the level of calling true patriotic desserts a name that counteracts their very nature. Please allow us to reconcile. Don't let the cookies come between us. Forever yours, my sweetest snickerdoodle, Stanley.
Right, that confirms it. I have given up trying to understand love. What I haven't given up on was interviewing Isla one last time to see if she had any crumb of information before I decided to action. Hey, Isla, can I talk to you for a second?
If we make this quick, that would be best. I have another show in an hour.
Right, of course. So, you were one of the panel judges this year for Blossom the Buffet. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Gregor only calls the best, you see. Well, who he assumes to be the best.
What do you mean?
Oh, he'd heard about Stanley from his new show and wanted a fresh take on this year's competition. Stanley's rising through the ranks, that's for sure. But not from his own merit. He wouldn't be anywhere he is today without riding on my coattails.
So you knew him well?
I wish that wasn't the case. We worked together and dated for a while. It didn't end well.
Oh, and how did you feel with working with him again?
Honestly, we just avoided each other. I only spoke to him once and made it clear I wanted nothing to do with him. But Gregor had other plans. I'd secretly hoped he'd regret inviting Stanley to come.
So, you didn't see him after that?
Absolutely not.
And where did you go after the competition?
I helped pack up, took my samples and went home. Had a night in. Look, I didn't kill Stanley. I may have been frustrated with him, but I wouldn't have gone that far. So if you'll excuse me, I really must be going.
Well, her alibi checks out. And I don't think a jaded lover was a good enough motive. Besides, her and Denise were both at the competition together until after I found the body. Josie wasn't a date, not that I care. And Anton doesn't remember where he was, unsurprisingly. And Myrtle was doing whatever she fills her mindless time with on a Friday night. This leaves Gregor. No one knows where he went besides up to the church after the competition. The audio I caught of him is horrendous. And he's certainly invested in the outcome of Blossom of Buffet. He was mad at Stanley for investigating his canaries. I mean canary. And honestly, of anyone in this town capable of cold-blooded murder, it's him. So it was time to confront him.
Ah, not this kid again.
It's over, Gregor. I'm on to you.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You murdered Stanley.
Is that so? And tell me, why would I do a thing like that?
I'm right, though, aren't I? You had more reason to murder Stanley than anyone. The evidence is all right there.
And what evidence is that?
You were threatened by Stanley when he came to the cannery, and there's every reason to believe you needed to silence him. And not only that, but maybe his result for the winner of the cherry pie would have interfered with the intended outcome of the competition. But no one can account for you after the competition or during the murder. You have no alibi and the perfect means and motive.
You think I'm running a gambling ring? And I'm a murderer. Kid, you've lost your marbles on this one.
Well, I mean...
And you think I tried to rig the competition for the bookies? You know where I went after that competition? I went to pay tribute to my brother Roman, share a slice of pie with him, and tell him how proud I was of this town. And it's all so wonderful, people. You know, while I was up there, I did see something, Harry. Oh, that's right, I did. While you've been stalking me around this town, you've missed someone so obvious. Oh, Harry, I wish I didn't have to be the one to tell you this.
I don't have it in me to tell you what Gregor said. But my hunch, it was wrong. I went back to my laptop searching through the desktop for any evidence to back up what Gregor was trying to imply. And that's when I found it. The first half of the recording, I didn't want to think about it. It didn't make any sense at the time, but now I've put the two and two together and the evidence is, well, it's all there.
Hello? Sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but spare a sec, would you? It's just my sister has fallen down the stairs and I just don't know what to do.
Of course. Golly, is everything okay? Do you need me to call someone?
Oh, it's just a bit of a mess. Come in, would you? My brain is so scrambled I can hardly think. It's a real omelet up in there. Say, you're not that judge from the Blossom to Buffet, are you?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
What's this? Let me take some of those Tupperware containers off your hands. Are these all the pie entries?
No, sorry, please. That's really confidential. I gotta take him home and judge him tonight. It's kind of important. Sorry, where did you say your sister was?
Oh, my brain, yes! Just down these stairs to the basement where my son does his pod show. Did I tell you my son does a pod show?
No, you didn't mention your son. You mentioned your sister. Look, I don't really feel comfortable being here.
Oh, my mind is so scrambled up there today. Beth, darling, can you hear us?
Down these stairs? This is where she fell?
Yes, Stanley. And this time, it's your turn to fall!
Ah!
Stanley, oh, how clumsy of me. I didn't flip you in one. You know, Stanley, I always liked you so handsome. Patty and Louise and I always say so. Oh, look at him on the 3 p.m. cooking show. Sleeves rolled up just nice. Oh, don't flatter yourself, Stan, dear. We're a harmless bunch of divorcees. Truly, we don't bite. Well, I mean, Patty's chihuahua does, but, Stan. Baby, don't try and run away. I stole this very cleaver from Denise just for you, and I'd hate to have wasted a break-in. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, Stan. Honestly, no hard feelings. It's just my son, Harry. Well, he's a great kid. No, really. He is. He's been trying to make it in the pod show business for so long, and he says to me, Ma, it's a crime how much money these podcasters make. This guy, Stanley Indexer, he's getting paid to go around eating food and talk about it. And I thought, can you imagine getting paid for something like that? Then he says to me, he says, that and true crime is where the real money is. But whatever happens in this good-for-nothing town that I could ever make something from? You see, Stan, that gets me thinking. It does. What if I made the true crime? What if I could create something for him to report on? You know, so honestly, and I mean this because Patty and Louisa will be devastated to not see you on the 3 p.m., but I really think it's going to be the break for Harry. You know, he's a good kid. He just needs something.
You're cracked in the head. You know that?
Okay, that was just rude.
Ah!
Oh, sweet chicken giblet! More turtles! Why you have knife? Why so much blood? Why?
Anton! Where did you come from? How did you get in?
I can't remember.
How very convenient for you. Oh, how very convenient for you.
The Midnight Snack was your classic food truck setup. Red neon, tin walls with a light box for today's specials. parked on an empty parking lot on the outskirts of town. A town that never got a name. A town with secrets and shadows, and a food truck that illuminates the unraveling minds of its citizens. Maybe the most unraveled was my mother's. The mind of a cold-blooded killer. I realized the Tupperware containers of pie in the fridge, they were Stanley's. I found Denise's knife in our cutlery drawer. The red Kool-Aid stain in the carpet in the basement, that was blood. My apartment was littered with evidence. And when the cops came knocking, there was nothing I could do to save her. I still visit her in prison on Thursdays. She asks how the podcast is doing, and when I tell her of its success, she smiles. A smile that on any other face, on any other person, would seem less ominous than on this face, and on this person.